Welcome to this daily PBJ devotional. Read Leviticus 10, Proverbs 25, and Psalm 97 to keep up with our reading schedule for the Old Testament for this year. This devotional is about Leviticus 10. Now Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, took their censers, put fire in them, and added incense, and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, contrary to his command. So fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died in the presence of the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord meant when he said, 'To those who come near me, I will show my holiness. In the sight of all the people, I will reveal my glory.'" But Aaron remained silent. Moses summoned Mishael and Elzaphan, sons of Aaron's uncle Uzziel, and said to them, "Come here, carry the bodies of your cousins outside the camp, away from the front of the sanctuary." So they came forward and carried them, still in their tunics, outside the camp, as Moses had directed. Then Moses said to Aaron and his sons Eleazar and Ithamar, "Do not let your hair become disheveled, and do not tear your garments, or else you will die, and the Lord will be angry with the whole congregation. But your brothers, the whole house of Israel, may mourn on account of the fire that the Lord has ignited. You shall not go outside the entrance to the tent of meeting, or you will die, for the Lord's anointing oil is on you." So they did as Moses instructed. Then the Lord said to Aaron, "You and your sons are not to drink wine or strong drink when you enter the tent of meeting, or else you will die. This is a permanent statute for the generations to come. You must distinguish between the holy and the common, between the clean and the unclean, so that you may teach the Israelites all the statutes that the Lord has given them through Moses." And Moses said to Aaron and his remaining sons, Eleazar and Ithamar, "Take the grain offering that remains from the offerings made by fire to the Lord, and eat it without leaven beside the altar, because it is most holy. You shall eat it in a holy place, because it is your share and your son's share of the offerings made by fire to the Lord, for this is what I have been commanded. And you and your sons and daughters may eat the breast of the wave offering and the thigh of the contribution in a ceremonially clean place, because these portions have been assigned to you and your children from the peace offerings of the sons of Israel. They are to bring the thigh of the contribution and the breast of the wave offering, together with the fat portions of the offerings made by fire, to wave as a wave offering before the Lord. It will belong permanently to you and your children, as the Lord has commanded." Later, Moses searched carefully for the goat of the sin offering, and behold, it had been burned up. He was angry with Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's remaining sons, and asked, "Why didn't you eat the sin offering in the holy place? For it is most holy. It was given to you to take away the guilt of the congregation by making atonement for them before the Lord. Since its blood was not brought inside the holy place, you should have eaten it in the sanctuary area, as I commanded." But Aaron replied to Moses, "Behold, this very day they presented their sin offering and their burnt offering before the Lord. Since these things have happened to me, if I had eaten the sin offering today, would it have been acceptable in the sight of the Lord?" And when Moses heard this explanation, he was satisfied. This is God's word. The previous chapters in this book explained the various offerings God had commanded his people to bring. That's Leviticus 1 through 7. The dedication of Aaron and his sons as priests in Leviticus 8, and the beginning of their service to the Lord on behalf of Israel in Leviticus 9. Their ministry had just begun. And here in chapter 10, two of Aaron's sons broke the law of Moses and displeased God with their unauthorized fire, as verse 10 in the NIV calls it. What exactly they did wrong is not explained to us. It could have been incorporating some pagan worship element into their offering. It could have been that they were drunk when they were making the offering, which may be why verses 8 and following are in this chapter. It could have been that they entered the most holy place, even though it was not the Day of Atonement. We just don't know specifically what they did, but whatever it was done in a willfully disobedient way to God's word. This is why God acted as swiftly as he did, killing these two men. Because instead of fearing the Lord and doing their ministry in that spirit, they attempted to worship God in an unholy way. Moses responded swiftly and told Aaron and all the other priests exactly what to do next. This was to reinforce that Nadab and Abihu were completely in the wrong, and to keep the other priests from compounding the sin by disobeying God's commands in other ways while they served as priests. Still, despite Moses' best efforts to keep the priests on an obedient path, they broke God's law again in verses 16 through 18 by not eating the sin offering in the sanctuary area, as verses 17 and 18 in the NIV put it. Moses was angry about that too, according to verse 16, and confronted the priests about this violation. Aaron spoke up for the others and said, "Given the fact that such things like this have happened to me, would the Lord have been pleased if I had eaten the sin offering today?" Those are the words of the NIV, and that satisfied Moses, according to verse 20, so no punishments resulted. But what exactly did Aaron mean when he said, "such things as have happened to me today"? The answer to that question, we must remember, was that Aaron was ordered not to grieve the death of his sons while he was on duty as a priest. That was something we saw in verses 6 and 7. Those orders not to mourn were directed at the outward signs of mourning. In other words, they were forbidden from tearing their clothes or allowing their hair to become disheveled, which was a common way of mourning in Israel's community. Although Moses commanded them not to mourn on the outside to show the signs of mourning, they were, of course, sad and distraught on the inside, both due to the sin of Nadab and Abihu and due to their deaths. So Aaron's response to Moses in verse 19 seems to have meant something like, "We fulfilled our duties to the Lord as priests, despite the sorrow we have. The only part we didn't complete was the part that benefited us, the eating meat from the offering. Because we are mourning, none of us felt like eating, and since the meal is supposed to be for our benefit anyway, is God really displeased that we didn't eat it? Would God have been glorified if we'd feasted away while our hearts were breaking?" That's my paraphrase of what Aaron was saying. And if that's what Aaron meant, it's a compelling argument, and therefore not surprising that Moses was satisfied by it. The most important part of what Aaron said, however, is totally clear. Would the Lord have been pleased? That was the preface to his question. Aaron's motives for allowing the sin offering to be consumed like the burnt offering would be, instead of eaten, was to glorify God. In every other circumstance, Aaron would have obeyed God's directions completely. But given these circumstances, it would be more glorifying to God for them to fast rather than eat the meal as if nothing were wrong. The truth of this passage, then, is that the motives behind what you do for the Lord matter more than what you do for the Lord. Now, that doesn't excuse sin, but it does say your motives matter. And this is something the Old Testament prophets emphasized, and Jesus spoke about often as well. It is never right to disobey God because of your feelings. But there are times when it is not totally clear what the best way to glorify God is. In those times, one should seek to honor God, think about what it means to honor God, and then act in a way that is consistent with one who is thinking about and trying to honor God. From time to time, people in our church ask me about various ethical dilemmas they have. Things like, should I attend a baby shower for a baby conceived out of wedlock, especially if the mother is unrepentant? Well, it isn't the baby's fault, but does it send a wrong message? Or another, should I attend the wedding of someone who professes Christ but is marrying an unbeliever? What if I'm not totally convinced that the professing believer knows Christ? These and other situations call for wisdom, and they bring stress and distress to many conscientious believers. Now, whenever I'm asked a question like this, I try to reason aloud with the person asking the question from clear scriptural truths and see if any of those seem to apply in the situation they are asking about. Often, though, it ends in a judgment call. A passage like this gives us some comfort. If we are seeking to please the Lord, not to justify or excuse a sin that we really want to do, but earnestly seeking to please Him, then that matters more to God than scrupulous obedience to God's commands from a cold heart. Are you facing any tough decisions where the right thing to do is not 100% clear, despite the fact that you've sought counsel from the Lord and from godly people? Then take comfort that God knows your motives and that He is gracious and merciful to us, especially when we want to please Him. If you found this devotional helpful, consider signing up to receive it every day in your email. Go to dailypbj.com/subscribe. This is completely free, and you can have it every day in your email that way. I'm looking for financial support. If you can help with that, please go to dailypbj.com/support. Now, please share this with someone who might be facing an ethical dilemma in their Christian life today, and I'll see you next time. May God bless you. I hope you have a great day today.